I'm not going to clip it to be you're like, wow, Jeff, Jesus, first the clock shit, but this is a whole new level. I am going to clip this part, though. That's perfect.
Endurance is a card, jam it to beat a doomsday and get rid of the yard. You can cast it by pitching if three men is too hard. Exile a card in hand, encounter a grizzle brand. Endurance blocks for days, big old butt in reach and flash. Blows a delver away, they can swallow a whale or chump merry lage. Attack through a flick of wisp, at least it dies to strix. It blocks like a spider against most ground creatures it requires. Pushes all of the flyers. So if your deck is up and all you want is caught in your head.
Hello and welcome to the Canadian Threshold Legacy Podcast. It's asking, would you rather fight 1,000 monkey-sized Emrakuls or one Emrakul-sized monkey? I'm Quinn Omori, and I'm here as always with my co-host Jeff Kinsey.
Hello.
And Brendan McBain.
Hey, guys. I don't even know what that really means. Explain yourself.
It's like that Reddit duck thing.
Yeah, Dad's not been around on the internet.
Yeah, I'm not up on my memes. I'm sorry.
That one's like old. That's not even like, that's like the end of the world cartoon. You know, it's just like every AMA is just like has, I don't think they even do anymore. It's like passe. They don't even do it, right?
Yeah. Eskimo Z ducks. That was my crossover attempt.
That was, I knew exactly what you were doing. Now fires and missiles. This is a perfect audio. I think it's legacy too, right? Everyone's washed. People know this.
That's so lost.
I have no idea. Like when you said fires and missiles, for some reason that like tingled something back in the recesses of my brain. But I'm really lost here. I'm not sure.
We'll put that. I'll watch it first to see how problematic it is, and then we'll link it in the show notes if it's not like. I don't think it's that bad, right?
The only thing I can remember is probably against French people, which I think is okay.
And there's like a bunch of accents, but like it's not that bad. It's not like, I mean, Apu is still a character, right? It's not as bad as that. Anyways, there's no housekeeping. There's Puget Sound Battleground 3. You can buy tickets on July 1st. So we won't have another episode before that. So mark that on your calendars.
And the actual event is about October 3rd?
October 2nd and 3rd.
2nd and 3rd. Hell yeah. I think they've got everything listed. Modern, old school, legacy, probably vintage.
I think they did Canadian Highlander last time too.
Ooh.
I guess I should just sign up.
Yeah?
I want to go on a trip. Probably around that time. Have you seen... for anyone who's not in Canada, this is also not... Even if you're in Canada, it might not be interesting. But have you looked at cross-Canada flights right now? They're so cheap.
Who are they?
It's like $350 on like WestJet, not Flair, or that's like the Southwest equivalent in Canada for you Americans.
Like the Ryanair.
Yeah, like Ryanair for anyone in Europe, but like on the actual, you know, airlines that let you carry bags on without paying. It's like $350 return to go to like Montreal or Toronto. That's like $600-$700 sometimes.
Where should we go?
That's the other thing about Canada is there's only like 2-3 places that I actually ever want to go to.
And is it even like, is Ontario even that good yet? Last time I talked to Rob, he was still locked in his house. So
no, but I was thinking like October.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be cold. It's going to be like warm enough, but not hot. That's like the peak time to like visit Central Canada.
I think the real play, and this kind of goes off what I said last time, is that second week of September when they unknowingly open up the borders and the Americans kind of haven't like had a chance to come en masse into Canada and everyone's back at school. Ontario is basically open at this point. And
the crystal ball.
Yeah, you can just go right in and do whatever you want. So I think that would be the ideal time to go. And it's still beautiful at that point, even October. But
yeah, October is super nice.
Oh yeah.
Any like time like mid-October and later, you could be risking it. Who knows?
Have a little boys trip, have a little face-to-face weekly.
I was thinking more I'd go with Liz. I have been to a face-to-face weekly in Montreal though when I was there for work.
Oh yeah.
I went to draft. And then I didn't know draft night and legacy night were the same night. And I was just so sad because I was like, oh my God, there's 40 people playing legacy. I should have brought my legacy deck. Fuck. I mean, the draft was fun, but you know.
It's not the same. It's not the same when you look over at people playing legacy.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, yeah, exactly. I guess I'll cast a 3-mana 2/2.
Yeah. I drafted a deck too that I'm sure was bad because I'm not very good at draft. And it was just like, ah, oh, fuck. Oh, I remember I got a bye too. So I was just walking around birding all the legacy matches, being like,
you know, I'm sure many people are thinking this in the audience, but Jeff, aren't you always casting 3-mana 2/2s?
As soon as those words came out of my mouth, I mean, like,
some of them are 1/1s.
You put it out there. I just knocked it down.
As soon as it left my mouth, I was like, oh, that's coming back.
2/2s in some of them.
Look, not everybody gets like 2-mana 8/8s or 3-mana 6/6s.
We'll get to that in a moment. Quinn, what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? I played...
Aside from Awful Historic.
I've been playing Historic. They banned Time Warp, so it's way less degenerate, which makes me sad. But I found a different deck that's like show and tell-ish. In Legacy, last week I played, in fact, I played one sideboard. I can't remember what the card is called.
Mavinda?
Oh, I played a Mavinda. Mavinda, oh, yeah. Mavinda's great. But I played, it's like one in a white, and it's like the tribal version of Crusade.
Oh, yeah. It's from Kaldheim, right?
Kaldheim.
Yeah.
So it's one in white for an enchantment, and when it comes into play, you name a creature type, and the creatures that you control of that type get +1/+1. So now my opponents sadly can name Phyrexian when they slam Plague Engineer, but that means I can pump my whole team. And I did have a game where I just slammed one, and my opponent's like, "Wait, you're gonna hit me for like 6 now?" And I'm like, "Yeah." It's just kind of like, "Huh? Of course, not bad." I don't know if that's true or not, but
when you have two creatures down, it is really good, especially like if you've got your noble that kind of is incentivizing you to go in with one creature and it's kind of turning on their removal spell or something. And then it's just like kind of an overrun effect, really. Especially when you consider like +1/+1 is actually +2/+2. So you have two guys and you're like, here's pump for 4. Like it at that point when you're viewing it, it actually sounds really good, but you have to be in a spot where they're not just like killing every creature on site and they're trying to do some trick. But
it does seem like it fails a lot of like the quadrant theory sections. Like when you're
for sure.
It doesn't do like anything.
I wouldn't main deck one again. I'll tell you that much. I would main deck actually a main deck answer to Plague Engineer, but it wasn't legal in paper yet. Prismatic Ending.
That card is great.
Card looks really good.
I've been playing against it.
Okay, I had to keep looking it up when I saw it on people's lists. For people who haven't had their endings prismatic'd, what is it? What does it do?
So it's a white X sorcery. You can pay any value for X, and Prismatic Ending exiles target permanent, non-land permanent with mana value equal or less than the number of colors used to cast Prismatic. Or is it equal to or less than?
It's equal or less.
equal or less than the colors used to cast Prismatic Ending.
And it's a sorcery.
Yeah.
The templating on this always like confuses me so much because it has a converge, which is what it actually cares about, and then it has X just so you can pay like whatever you want. It always confuses me whenever I play it like in draft or something. Like, I'm just gonna like cast it for four and get rid of this. And it's like, no, that's not how this works.
I was watching Sam Dam's Fenris Cloud stream the other day, and he's going and he's like, well, if we draw Prismatic Ending, we're still dead because Inkmoth Nexus can't make a color. And I'm like in the chat being like, he's got Urborg. You're making three colors.
That's great. The card seems good. So you would be playing one.
Sam was playing, I can't remember if he had three or four across the 75, but I think he might have been playing two main deck. And he replaces game one.
Almost everything. You know, you can get rid of artifacts, you can get rid of, you know, creatures, whatever. The only thing you're hitting against is obviously the things that cost a bunch of mana, but the fact that you can pretty consistently make, you know, three colors of mana means you can get rid of like most of the things you'd ever want to.
It's a main deck out to Chalice.
Yeah, shit.
The card is insane. Like, I've had lots of explorations killed by it. My Sylvan Libraries have been killed by it. It's phenomenal. And then even when they like snapcaster it or something back, and then decks like Urizquin with Infect that get to splash it as well for just the ability to take out those like really random things that you don't really have room for. It almost feels like a best of one design where they're like, you know what? People don't get to have sideboards. We got to give them something flexible in the main.
Definitely.
Here's something that will kind of cover all the bases. And it's a little bit restrictive in terms of like, you know, the more quote unquote fragile your mana base is, the better this card will be. And there's a tension there, except when you apply it to Legacy and you're like, mana bases are free.
It's just a blue card now, which is, I think, the problem. Just a blue card. This is
going to exist with Astrolabe.
Oh, that would have been so gross.
You kind of touched on it, McBain, but I want to, you know, I feel like complaining a little bit about the card. Like, I don't want to get super into it, but like you touched on the best of one design, like I really feel like that stuff takes away a lot from the game. You know, this isn't like the hallmark or everything's over or whatever, but just when a lot of people can just main deck something that deals with almost anything, that's doesn't feel like a great place to be. You know what I mean?
I agree with you on the premise of that design philosophy in general.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't like how there's so many like commands or like choose one or like, we'll get to these later, but creatures that do like a jillion things when they come into the battlefield, like I'm not super high on those. But I think in their defense, like the converge thing makes this pretty restrictive. Like, it's not just free to put in your like white black deck, right? Yeah, especially in standard. I think like McBain, you bring up a point that it's a blue card in Legacy. Because it just costs one white and then the other colors are important.
I think I've also just gotten extra burn today specifically with people just Prismatic Ending like everything. And it doesn't matter. Like, this thing's safe. It's so safe. In the game one, they can't deal with this. Nope.
You can still Mother of Ruins it, right?
Yeah. Thankfully, can you imagine if it was like a council judgment?
Choose.
I need to get old border ones no one local has them up for pre-order. I don't want to buy one copy to use in week one and then like buy another set, so I'm just gonna wait on it.
The old border looks really nice.
They gotta change something with this like release schedule where it's like on like Magic Online for like weeks before,
like a month. Paper.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's at the point where like stuff's like old hat. Like, the draft format is like, yeah, I've drafted this a billion times, and like, you know, in paper, I want to draft it, it'll be fun. But it you lose any of that like momentum of like excitement because it's like, it's just over.
I think maybe not for like standard sets.
Mm.
I don't know how many people who buy Magic cards actually play on Magic Online. I'd be interested to see what that percentage is.
For standard especially, it's got to be so low.
Yeah. Well, and people who just draft for fun, you know, they're probably like, we're all doing it. And we're talking about how much the cards are in Legacy, but like realistically, like, you know, if you play Commander, you're not like jumping on Magic Online, you know, probably to like draft.
On a different level, though, aside from like the kind of excitement part of it, like we will have had, what, two weeklies now where you could play leagues and proper tournaments with Modern Horizons 2 and Magic Online, and you can't in paper.
Yeah, that mismatch, especially with paper play coming back, I think is hopefully something they kind of tighten the dates up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, then everyone shows up to play with their decks that, like, some of which might not exist depending on like how impactful, you know, the update is.
So I don't want to talk about that for too much, but I just, like, looking back in history, I would remember the events where people are wanting to prepare for a paper event, and the complaint is, gee, Wizards, I want to play in your GP with legal cards, but the electronic versions aren't out for another 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell is this? And they want to use Magic Online as practice for real life events, which I think most legacy players would agree with, in terms of, like, that would be the paradigm they'd rather have, rather than I can go play with the paper card and it comes out 2 weeks later on Magic Online.
Sure.
So I think I would, given one or the other, I would choose this one. I do agree with the old hat comment, even though, like, I've never said that as a comment before. I don't know what old hat comes from, but it feels good to me when you say it. The idea of, well, let's just, like, pair them up together, I think is just a no-win for everyone, because then you're pulling players from either event
and you make it closer.
Yeah, I think it assumes that you live in a big city where there's more players, but yeah, maybe like one on one weekend, one on the other, and just, you know, yeah, live sure. in that world. But
yeah, it used to be like a week apart, right? And yeah. That's no big deal.
I feel like sometimes we have this kind of like Stockholm syndrome relationship with Wizards, where it's like, hey, they're doing something. Like, just appreciate that. Cause yeah, I remember when stuff would take forever to get a Magic Online, and you're like, this, what the fuck? And then somebody just, you know, turned the crank and it got a little stuck, and they don't, all the way to the other side.
They're listening, Jeff. Stop bad mouthing them. They're gonna beat us again.
It's just because I like them so much. I just want them to do better, because, you know, I just want them to succeed.
I do feel like a lot of times when you think about this kind of thing, like, there's some discussion that happened that you're not privy to, and then if you find out about it, you're like, okay, like, yeah, that's like, that's a little more reasonable, you know, like, I might not agree with it, but I like understand the line of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I like want to believe that that's happening here, but then there's like other stuff where they're like, yeah, they were in Caracas, it was the box topper, and you're like, I mean, there was a discussion that happened that stopped that, but like, how did it get to that point? You know, and like,
Magic Online definitely has a team that is like three people who are told the product is sunsetting 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And they're just forced to, like, you know, continue barely supporting it.
So they don't have like a Sam Black coming in. They barely have people probably like internally helping them out. So like, yeah, like, I don't know if there's a good reason for any of this.
Yeah.
We need unfortunate because they make millions of dollars.
We need like an MTGO whistleblower.
I'm surprised there hasn't been more of that stuff.
I'm just really curious, like, even outside of like trashing them or whatever, like, I just want to hear about, you know, I want some kind of insight in like the meetings or the choices for MTGO. I just want to know. I'm curious. I wonder how big the team is when you get, you know, random orcs. Is it just like one person with five different accounts online, like, responding to all these things? Like,
I was really surprised that they, like, obviously the NDA expired, but I'm assuming like Sam wants to stay in their good books. So he probably was like, is it okay for me to like write an article about this and like talk about this? And they're probably like, yes. And like, did they think all that stuff sounded good?
I don't think it's like wartime propaganda where you can't let like anything remotely mediocre not come out. Like, I think it's good to have a bit more discourse and communication and openness. That's my own opinion. Don't attack me with
it. I mean, I think it's good that like they allowed him to do it and didn't, like, on the one hand, but also I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like an analog to like my job where if someone's like, yeah, and then like we don't want to do this thing, and I was like, have you noticed this very obvious thing? And he was like, oh, okay, you know. And it wasn't like, oh, an idea I came up with off the cuff. It was like, yeah, I had this like mock-up of Doomsday, And they're like, do you know about this Carthasis Oracle? I'm like, oh shit. That's the point. Rip up the Doomsday. Anyways, this is all in Sam Black's Star City Games article, by the way. If you're not sure what we're talking about, I'll link that in the show notes.
It's a good read for sure.
Less about cards that did not make it into Modern Horizons 2. How are you guys feeling about the cards that did make it into Modern Horizons 2 and the decks that they are reinvigorating or adding to?
McBain, what do you think?
Two thumbs up so far.
Yeah? What was your experience? What do you mess around with? What do you see? What do you like?
Well, in terms of like what I've been playing a bunch of lands, which is like you kind of force your opponent into a certain box to play within. Like they don't get to have all sorts of like crazy interactive games. You kind of try to take away all their mana so they can't have fun, which is, you know, it's what it is.
The best kind of Magic.
Oh yeah. It's my favorite, but it's a one-sided zero sum game for sure. In terms of like the decks that I've been seeing and like some of the cool stuff, like having Affinity, or Steel Stomper, whatever we're going to end up calling that thing. Seeing that's really cool. Seeing the continued evolution of the Bant Miracles lists is really neat. Got some burps here going on with this beer I've been having. seeing how, like, I always have, like, D&T as a bit of a bellwether in terms of the format. And seeing that deck continue to evolve, it's gotten a bunch of new toys. Elves has been continuing to overperform, even though like I think everyone can agree that like it feels as though everyone's like, well, why isn't every deck playing for Plague Engineer? But they're not. And the cost to play Plague Engineer is just too high right now. So, you know, Elves continues to reign supreme. Endurance is probably like the biggest card in my mind. Like when I think of Modern Horizons 2, I think of Endurance. That card is insane.
It also feels like the kind of like subtitle card. You know, you have these like splashy things that take the heat from a bunch of stuff like Ragavan or even that dragon thing or Dragon Rage Channeler. You know, all the stuff that's kind of like the headlines. And then Endurance is kind of at the back. And as stuff fades out, will definitely stick around and be a staple for stuff.
It endures for sure.
Well, it's right there. It was right there.
I think that card, like, if you look at the text and the stats and the casting cost, it's like, what situation, how far behind on board do you need to be where you draw that as a top deck where you're like, fuck, not this. Zero situations, almost.
Yeah, when you do the quadrant theory, it's just like
you're dead
endurance
already.
Fits over top of it. Yeah. When I look at the design of it, it's kind of like this like eight circled Venn diagram, and in the middle is Endurance. They're just like, oh, they're resolving Thassa's Oracle. Better have Endurance. What's that? They're trying to attack with the Delver. Better have Endurance. Like it just,
well, they're trying to attack with anything, like anything that's not like reanimator target, and like you know,
did they just like turn one Griselbrand? Oh, good thing you got Endurance. Like it just. And the fact that it doesn't just slide right into Delver is just like the icing on the cake for me.
I don't know why it's
it doesn't right now.
I think the double green and having a pitch green is just insanely prohibitive, and you'll never be able to get it into a Delver shell. If you want to quote me on that or bring it up later, go ahead. But I think the real obvious shell is like the Bent Miracles list, and then also things like Elves, even lands can use this thing, but I think the Bat Miracles one is the one that's like kind of going back to the prismatic, what the hell is it called?
Ending.
Prismatic ending. Those cards are just like two insanely flexible cards. And it's not like game ending, it's just like game extending cards that let you get to that stage where you're like, okay, I've assumed enough of an advantage, I can now deploy my Uro and close the game out. Both are great. The channeler, the Dragon Rage Channeler, is a terrifying card, but it's also like the Surveil one is obnoxious.
I was playing
against like a blue red, kind of like quote unquote like Ruby Storm list. It was like Tony Scapponi or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And it was insane. Like he would just deploy it and he would use it as this like card filtering device. And then you'd like kind of lock him up. He's like, okay, I guess I just won't do anything and I'll just F6 and these things will automatically attack and kill you.
It's the ultimate time saver.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty impressive, but I don't know. Like when I think back to like Modern Horizons 1, when we did get Plague Engineer, when we did get Renin 6 and Urza and Force of Vigor and all these things, like in terms of like how shell shocked we were going from like War of the Spark into Modern Horizons 1, after we had this like, you know, greener pastures glory time in front of that. And then to like, we almost like were in the same position this time around where Legacy was pretty great moving into Modern Horizons 2. And I don't think it's been necessarily blown up to any degree. And we're not in the Renin 6 realm. Like, luckily we have things like Force of Negation to mitigate the effects of Modern Horizons 2 using our Modern Horizons 1 card.
Except it doesn't stop any of the pitch cards from this set.
Well, yeah, that's the tension between Modern Horizons 1 and 2. Eventually, our decks will basically... eventually, our decks will just be Modern Horizons 1 and 2 cards with Force of Will in there. And it'll just be playing out that way. It's like the new block format. So, Jeff, you had mentioned, I think, today, if there is a few, like, begrudging comments and stuff like that. You've been playing a bunch of stuff online and you've been having up and down experiences. Like what has your online experience for Legacy been like lately?
Well, I decided to, you know, get back and play some D&T since the new set's been out. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it's been fine. You know, I basically just copped XJ Clouds list, which is all anybody should do. And then I changed, I wanted to play a Solitude main. So I just put a main over a Palace Jailer. And I also wanted to play, with the Sanctifier on Vec for fun. Just
try
it out and see what's going on. So I just played one main. And it's, I don't know, the deck felt fine. Honestly, overall, I had some pretty bad experiences, which could just be the decks and, you know, the matchups and stuff, but definitely feels outpaced trying to play against like Blue Red Delver or really anything that's leveraging new cards right now. Like there's a lot of stuff that's like super hyper efficient. And I think honestly, what I really need to get over is like my own wants for like what I want the deck to be in the format. You know, we were talking in the Slack earlier about like the deck itself is fine. I think the archetype is fine and possibly even in a good place with some of the new cards. Obviously, go read the article XJ Cloud wrote for the Minmax blog. Very good article talking about all the new cards and what kind of place they might have. But I think where my tension with it comes is that like the things that the deck is good at doing now aren't like the things that I like so much about it. Like I don't want to just, you know, like put in a big dumb idiot and crush over everything. I want to play those games where, you know, port's good and where you have to like flicker whisk trick stuff and get all these little, you know, specific phases and bits to go in. And the deck's not really there and the format's definitely not there for that. So trying to play the deck with that mindset has been not a great experience for me. I 3-2'd yesterday and I 1-4'd today, just getting run over by stuff is not good. But like, it's also the first time I've properly played against Blue Red Delver a few times. Man, that's just hit after hit. Like, you're looking at your hand and you're like, okay, you're like, this is a good hand. I have like 2 Swords of Plowshares. Oh yeah, like I've got some business. And it's like, no, every single threat they play just needs to be dealt with. And I made the mistake one time of they had a Dragon Rage Channeler and a Delver. And this is to your point about the surveilling. I was like, they don't have like anything in their bin right now. I'm just going to get rid of the Delver and then I'll, you know, deal with this other thing. And sure enough, on their turn, they like cast one spell, put something in the bin, cast another spell, put something in the bin. It's like they have like delirium and they just start crushing me. I don't know. I haven't had a good run, and I'm feeling like I need to change something up a bit to get back on the horse.
Everything seems really haymakery right now. Like, yeah, when I was watching Sam play. He played against DNT, and it's all like Infect Degenerous in the chat being like, "Yeah, DNT." And then of course he lost, because like, but it wasn't like, I don't know if he got unlucky. Like, the matchup's not like as I think favored as like Infect players like to think. But it's like, I think it's like favored, and like, you know, he got like a little unlucky, but like, I think the match used to be a lot more interesting. Like, he'd be like, like, I guess I'll let them have a mom. I'm like, fuck, now they have Thalia and I can't get rid of Thalia and got Caracas or whatever. And there'd be more of this like interplay happening.
Right.
And like, obviously Thalia still came down. There was, you know, there was a game where his opponent was like double porting him, and he's explaining how, like, he's like, oh, they know how to use port, like, you know, this is what you want to do, and then I'm gonna do this with the Inkmoth Nexus, and then you do this bring in combat, and then I'm gonna activate the second one because they messed up or something. And that part was cool, and then all of a sudden it just started being like, I think that was game one, and then in game two it was like, okay, well, we find the swords, we're good, okay, we'll swords them, oh, well, they swords us back. Oh, well, it's fine. We drew prismatic ending. We'll prismatic ending them. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay. They played like the core spirit thing, and like, it was just like this, like, dunk, 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 dunk. And like, I think in that game, eventually he was like, oh, well, I'm going to like force his vigor both of their vials, and now we're like way ahead.
Yeah.
And the game ended.
And that's, you know, that is really kind of how I've been feeling playing the deck, or just playing the format right now, is that kind of stuff. So I'm going to try to like mentally shake something up to get myself out of that, like, section of stuff that I'd like to play, which, you know, is severely affected by that, because everything really does kind of feel right now like the Muxus effect, where I was talking to our friend of the show, Dylan Dubik, on Twitter today. He was asking about Kaldra and stuff, and it said this is definitely like a dramatic explanation, because it's not quite that, but like, Goblins, when you got Muxus, became a lot less interesting of a deck, because it was just the thing you do. There's nothing else you do. All you're trying to do is get a Muxus in play, and that's it. Like, you know, there's sometimes you go on little side trails and doing little bits, but like, the end game is like, I'm finding a Muxus and I'm putting it into play because that's the best thing I can do. And it feels now like a lot of decks are on that kind of wavelength.
Goblins is finally dumb enough for me to play. I played it and I like just stalled the game out, and then I ticked up a vial to six, and my opponent's like, well, I guess you got a Muxus, I'm in trouble. Bam. Kill you.
Yeah.
So I think this goes back to that comment we were making about Endurance or Prismatic Ending, where it feels like these best of one cards where they're really hyper flexible. And I think those are a good way to kind of address those things where decks are incentivized to become really linear, and you get into that, like, speaking from someone who's never played a game of Modern in his life, you get into those Modern formats where things become very linear, and it's just like, game one, I'm just going to do my plan A, I don't have a plan B, because my plan A is either so good or the only thing I can do, I'm going to do that. And then I might, like, you know, address a few things either to plug their plan A or to make my plan A better. And I don't ever want to see Legacy kind of go down that road. And I think like having those, so that quote unquote Muxus effect, I would just call the Modern effect. And to have things that are more flexible and almost let you play with sideboard cards in game one that have deck building implications, where it says, oh, maybe I can't just make this really hyperlinear deck of Muxes or whatever, because you know what? They're going to have answer X or Y just automatically in their deck. And it makes you kind of build your deck a little bit differently. I think that's a good thing overall. And anything that addresses like that hyperlinearization aspect that people want to do, like, they're like, oh, well, you just play red, black reanimator. And you're like, well, there's people just playing main deck Endurances in their deck that just flash hate you. Like,
I think it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, a flexible card makes the reactive decks linear. Like, before, the point of playing Miracles was because you're the big brain genius and you're like, okay, well, I have four Source of Pleasures, I have one copy of Genuine Counterspell, four Force of Wills, no Force of Negations, I have two Spell Snares, and you played Tundra into Aether Vial. It's like, no, I have to get this Aether file. And then I'm going to think, because I'm so good at legacy, but like everything you have. And like, that's like, instead, if you're like, oh, well, you know, I cut all my spell snares, but I have four copies of Prismatic Ending. So I'm just going to like tap up for my Uro. You can do whatever you want. I'll gain three life and draw a card. And then next turn, I'll just Prismatic Ending whatever you play. Right. Like it makes the decks that used to have like play to them. And like, you used to have to really think hard about like, what are you going to do? Like you played Painter before, right? Like, and you knew the meta so well, and you'd be like, okay, I'm playing against Burn. Yes, I have my sideboard, like, you know, bullets, but I'm like, I know they're going to do this. And when they tap out, I can get it's like Slam of Warmth. And then, you know, I can start going to work. And I think like, it's the same thing, like, ironically, Council's Judgment, which would get rid of a mom in the past. But like, you had like one Council's Judgment, right? You can't main deck a bunch of those because it's just too mana intensive. So you had to like look and be like, okay, like this is not a true name nemesis, or it's not like the Mother of Ruins that's like stopping me from getting my shit done. So I can't use my Council's Judgment right now on this Thalia. Like I just have to take two, and then I'm going to pass. And then, you know, I'm going to keep two mana up, and I'm going to like spell center the Stoneforge Mystic, like all that stuff becomes less important, and that like lines, those lines of play become less important if you're just like, I have a generic answer and I splashed my, you know, I put my mountain in the main deck so I can make three colors and kill everything.
It's, I mean, going back to what we talked about even last episode when I brought up Sanctifier Unbeck as a card I was, you know, interested in trying, I think you, Quinn, were also championing the like, I kind of hate this type of card. Like, why does it just hose these things? And it's like a free cost hoser. And it's the same kind of thing, right? It's like when answers to everything that covers like a specific thing even are like good enough to just have in your deck because it just handles anything, I think the decision trees get a lot less interesting and the general gameplay becomes just like, I play a thing, you play a thing, I play a thing, you play a thing, instead of like the, you know, the nuanced tucking and weaving that I really appreciate.
Like a card like Delver of Secrets, even though I was saying they should ban it, it's not because it's like, maybe it shouldn't be in blue, but it's like in a vacuum, it's a cool card. Like you got to do a bunch of stuff. In Legacy, it's broken because everyone plays Brainstorm and it's busted with Brainstorm, but like, okay, I play instant sorceries and I get rewarded for that. And it like flips into this like beat stick, but also it's like, I have to protect it. So like, you know, I have to like design my deck to do something. It's not just like, if like Delver came in and like exiled one card from a graveyard and like, or like you know, the flip side was actually, it was just like shock, you know, like that's not very interesting. Delver does a thing and you need a bunch of cards to do other stuff.
And Endurance, why is Endurance a 3/4, man?
If they're designing for Modern, like I don't know, so this is not rhetorical, what problem are they trying to solve in Modern? Like, it seems like they tried.
Maybe I think it's strictly legacy. It's like, it's such an amazing card for dealing with so many things.
And like, maybe it's like a signpost for what's coming.
I think if they made the card for legacy, then the fact that it just like slices and dices is just so ham fisted. And I'm like, that's what makes me like not really like the card, although I'm gonna like suck it up and buy some because it's so fucking good. But like,
the card is incredible.
But like, what, like, if it's designed for the Modern meta game, like, what are they worried about? Is it because they are trying to push Reanimate, or they want like a safety valve? Or are there like Oracle decks in Modern? There must be. There's like Oracle decks.
The Twiddle one, right? The Breach.
Oh, that's what the Breach deck does?
I think so.
What are we talking about Modern for?
Well, because I'm just trying to figure out like what they were thinking when they made this card. Like, it has a butt that like Prophecy blocks Delver. Like, I don't think they were thinking about legacy.
They released those like
if they were designing a card specifically for legacy, that's so irresponsible when they specifically said we don't think about it and clearly don't know anything about the format. They were just like, oh, people complain about this Delver card, here's a 3/4, and then also people complain about Reanimator, so why don't we hose Reanimator? Like, that's stupid.
Is it Flash 3/4 reach? Like, you can't attack into that with anything. Like, oh. Blighted. Why is it a 3/4? Make it a 2/3. It's still great.
Just get your Mirror Crusaders back out, Jeff. You love that thing.
I do. And that's
and
why
start going to town.
The part of D&T that I love is dead. Mirror Crusader Mangara will never be good again.
I'm gonna be so mad when I attack with an Ornithopter and someone flashes an insurance one day. I'm like, ah, ain't my Ornithopter. No one who does that.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been playing D&T and just not having a good time. And I think a lot of it too is like the Magic Online feelings. You know, like when you have a bad match on Magic Online and you're just sitting there looking at your computer, like it just doesn't feel good. Think of a bad match in paper. You go over to, you know, I go over to YouTube and I just bullshit about like, ah, like I just got screwed, or like, you know, like, oh, I fucked up, and you can laugh about it or talk about it and it's fine. But like when you're just sitting here watching you lose, it just feels quite bad.
Like when it's paper, Ben Kender, how do we pronounce his last name?
Quenderick? I don't know.
Friend of the show. Plays solitaire, you know, and much, if you don't know that deck, that's what it does. But he's such a nice guy. And when that deck goes off, like the pilot just looks so happy. So like, I'm happy, you know, like I'm not doing anything except watching them and being like, oh, are you gonna, ooh, meditate. That's cool. When you're online, you're just like, oh my God, like I'm just trying to finish this match before lunch. Like, please go faster.
Yep.
So Jeff, for the last three Thursdays on webcam, I've been playing D&T, and yeah, it's a pretty stock list. I don't know. Like, I've been having a great old time though. The deck's been great. I really want to get some of the new cards and continue playing it. Like, I haven't had my soul shattered by playing online or anything like that, where I just get blue red delvered to death. But I've been having a fun time playing it. Even like those, like you get Palace Jailer going, like bounce your batter skull, like all those weird little lines. Like, so you were kind of remarking earlier about like how all those things that you love feel like they're kind of like pushed to the side. Mm-hmm. But I think it, putting my positive rose colored glasses on that I always do, like, I think it'll make, when you get into those game states where you do have to kind of, you know, flow off the old folder and open it up and like start sorting through and be like, ooh, here's this file. Like, we're going to execute this plan. Like, I think it'll make those experiences so much better. And really, again, like show why you're like a D&T player that can beat the likes of Eric Vrolijk in a GP. Like, you can go bust out those skills rather than these kids these days where they're just like, I just play like I'm playing a modern deck. And I just like kill your guy and make a dude and attack and like pay one for your spell. And you're like, that is just this.
I think I'm about like 1 year worth of Magic sets away from getting okay boomered away from D&T. You know, like back in my day, we played Mangara and it's like, okay, grandma, let's get you to bed.
That is what Mangara is like. Well, maybe in the new Modern Horizons 3, it'll be like Mangara Reborn or something, and they'll have some hasting Mangara that like bounces himself.
Ooh. And you know what, I really don't need to be too salty. I think honestly a lot of this is just a victim of playing Magic Online exclusively. Once you're in paper, even if I'm not liking some directions or whatever, like it's so different and it's so much more fun.
Yeah,
we've talked about it before. It just feels a lot more like work on Magic Online.
I think that's true. I don't know why I'm in such like a downer mood today. I'm not. I feel great personally. But like, McBain, I appreciate you trying to stop me and Jeff from just complaining for like 2 hours. Jeff, I appreciate that you're looking on the bright side about like being in like physical proximity to other humans will like make things better, which I 100% agree with. But like, it's like, oh, if like the games get more stagnant, then the sweet moments will be sweeter. I'm like, no, it'd be cooler with more sweet moments. Like, stop doing this stuff. Just like print good cards again.
Yeah. Oh, the last thing I'm going to say, aside from if you see a sweet deck or something that's fun, send it to me. I want to play it. Brendan Lensig was suggesting I bust out the Gyruda Cannon, which is hard to do with the new companion rule. But maybe I'll try to find something. Oh my God, I completely lost the thread. I started thinking about the Cyberclaw and all the tickets that could have been, and I lost it. I lost it all. Oh, I remembered. I brought it back. the biggest problem with D&T decks today in every list everybody's making, people are cutting the sacred cow. People are going to three Flicker Wisps, and I will not stand. It's probably the right choice, but oh, come on, a sign of the times.
What cards did it get? Isn't Flicker Wisp better now because there's more shit that's good to flicker?
You can like flash into Solitude and like flicker it. Like that's pretty sick. But so it's getting cut for there. I think there's like just like more Revokers and Spirit of the Labyrinth, you know, boring shit.
Spirit of the Labyrinth is a card where it's like, it's good that card exists, I guess. I mean, it's like, it's not bad that that card exists, you know, it just like exists. And I'm like, if someone like, I go brainstorm and like I activate my vial onto you, I'm like, I deserve this. Like, I'm trying to play brainstorm. You got me.
Yeah.
I think if it like, if it makes sense for you to play like multiple copies main deck, then it's just like something's wrong with the format again.
At least it dies to like everything. Like a
stiff, yeah, it's just like so fragile. That's why the card is like fine, right? It's just more like, yeah.
I've been loving it. And screw your sacred cow, Jeff. Like three Flicker Wisps seems totally fine.
Get out. Get out.
Totally fine. I go back to the Patrick Chapin deck building philosophy. If you have four of something in your deck, that means you want it in your opening hand every
game. Hell yeah.
I don't want Flicker Wisp in my opening hand. I want to draw it like two or three turns later. Like the, I want to have Spirit of the Labyrinth in my hand and like just go turn to Spirit and my opponent go like, God damn it, this card. And then sit there and look at their like brainstorm in their hand and then say like, why is this thing hitting me for three damage every turn? Like, I was playing against Danny and he's like, this thing is so terrifying. I just like play it and start attacking him. And he's like, okay, I have to do stuff now. And I can't dig to get out of it. I just have to like actually answer it.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make treasures. It doesn't draw you cards when your stuff is tapped. It's targeted. It dies to wear tear.
Nombos with your own palace trailer.
That honestly is so funny. And it's like that feels like such a D&T thing also, because you're like in a positive way, you know, that feels like I'm going to play this hate piece and I'm going to take the hit from doing it.
That's why Solitude's unfair. My swords cost two and you just swords my poor Glistener Elf through Athalia? How dare you?
Solitude through Athalia does feel nice. I also got the, I played against Reanimator and I got the like, they go to like Exhum and you're like,
on the two, Flicker Wisp thing, like when you're like three is good, I feel like you don't know, like you don't really know, Jeff. We've been at this for so long. We've known each other for years and like you can't think of like 20 times where you're like looking at his graveyard and you're like, well, there's a Flicker Wisp. And you look on a board and there's two Flicker Wisps and he's searching for the Recruiter of the Guard and he's just thumbing through his library over and over again and the Flicker Wisp is just floating on top like a Terminus. And he's looking and he's looking, he's like, ah, it's the last Flicker Wisp. He would play like 10 Flicker Wisps if he could.
I would.
I remember when you played like the 12 Flicker deck or whatever with like when Charming Prince came out.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And you had, what was it, like White Mane Lion or something?
No White Mane Lions. I'll give you a hint. It cost four.
There was something that there was another Flicker effect.
The thing that goes infinite with Saheeli.
It's a no, not that one.
Glimmer
does cost four. Glimmer Point Stag. Yep.
Oh yeah, that's what it was.
Four Charring Prince, four Flicker Wisp, four Glimmer Point. It has vigilance. It was great. The problem with the cat is it flickers right away. Glimmer Point Stag can, you know, does this line of turn. I think I 3-0'd or 4-0'd when we played that, the 12 Flicker. That was so good. Maybe I'll just play that online. Fuck.
Well, I feel like ripped to a time when that was probably remotely playable.
Reject modernity. Embrace 12 Flickers.
Reject modernity. And then this is a like a t-shirt with just Glimmer Point Stag. No one will get that except for us. But we'll laugh every time. Every time one of us is wearing it.
Yeah. So top bit of that is that I'm not gonna, you know, complain about this anymore. I'm just gonna try to play something else for a while. I'm honestly gonna try to, I think, shift gears like dramatically and try to mess around with some other stuff to try to just get my brain somewhere else and then come back to it.
What are you thinking about?
I really don't know. I don't want to just go play like Bant Miracles or something without Uro, something cool.
What comes to your mind, Quinn? We're going to prescribe our friend some medicine.
I don't think that Jeff and I like to take the same medicine. I think Jeff wants reasonable prescription drugs, and I'm going to be like, well,
no, right now, tried, I'm up for the experiment.
If you try stealing a prescription for like OxyContin, you know, because have I got something for you? So let me tell you, you pay 3 mana and then you make an Emrakul. It's really easy. I don't know. That's like the direction I'm going.
I'll play show and tell. The only problem is that I can't rent Ragavans because that's my entire rental budget.
You don't need to play that garbage. So I was going to recommend two things. Either Depths, probably the more the black one, not the green white one. Got to get away from those white
cards. Yeah. Something like further removed from
D&D. Yeah. So Depths, because it still has those like, you know, layers upon layers of effects, and then you just kind of punch through and win. The last part, something a little bit foreign to you, but usually you're just kind of assembling layers that then just get knocked down. But I was actually going to also say show and tell. Like it's again something that you can like kind of line up. Like, yeah, it has just like the ham fisted do the thing, but I think like the real true good show and tell players will like line up those turns where they fight through two effects or something to get the damage through. So,
but when you do that, your opponent asks you why you jammed in the chat.
They say, are you ghosting?
Yeah, are you ghosting me? No, I had double force of will. Or my chat said you shouldn't have gone for it. Oh, okay.
So I think, Jeff, to be honest, I think you should pick one of those and then actually just play it in paper, like when paper starts again.
Oh boy, time to start buying bayous.
I'll bring you show and tell.
All right.
You need to borrow force. Oh, you have force of wills, right?
I do. I have force of wills now.
You need the cantrips, but I have the dual lands. And
I own cantrips, son.
I have good show and tells. When
I
got my forces,
I figured it's time. It's time.
I have bad sneak attacks, but I have good show and tells.
Yeah. Maybe I think I try to play some Depths. I've never tried Depths. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I think like it's been performing for one. Mm-hmm. And then two, again, just to really stress that like layering component. I think that's really like you're taking 20 turns of death and taxes and you're kind of stacking them all up vertically and then in the game. So I think there'd be some real enjoyment there. And there's a bunch of different flavors that you can do. You can do, you know, like do the slower Depths with Mox Diamonds and Bobs, or you can do like, there's one in the 13th this last Sunday, the challenge that got 7th place with Shadow_PT. And they were on like the turbo, which is like 4 not of this world for Pithing Needle list. One, that's budget. Like you could almost, it's got 2 bayous, and like some people, the real genius brains out there, they'll play those blue green duels that aren't forests for all those submerge idiots out there. Mm-hmm. And like I know Ben, who we were talking about earlier, who played High Tide, he also played like a budget Depths list and had a great time with it. So again, it's a sweet deck, and you get to play like degenerate cards like Veil of Summer. And then like Rite of Consumption people just for the lulls.
I've lost the Rite a few times.
You know, like Rite of Consumption. They're like, oh, it's part of the cost. I guess I'll force the will that. You're like, guess I'll hit or file a summer, veil some of that. Have a nice day.
I lost to Depths today and they had, this is a real throwback. What's that enchantment where maybe you should play this, Quinn, where it's like creatures of the chosen type have shroud.
Shroud no good.
Oh, yeah, shit, Shroud's no good. Yeah, that's not good.
But someone also posted this in the Infect Discord, being like, have you guys seen this card before? And I was like, yeah, man, do you know what Shroud does? And he was like, oh, I looked it up. Oh, okay, sorry. And it was like, it's all good. It's all good. But yeah.
So clearly you go like, you know, Invigorate, cast this enchantment.
It's like the world's slowest Vines of Vastwood.
But I haven't seen that at a Depths in forever. Like naming Avatar, like shit. It got me.
I just want to restress, not of this world. Come on.
Yeah, not of this world is cool. Pumps a Tarmogoyf.
And then honestly, in 8th place right below it is JPA and Show and Tell. So pick one of those two and have some fun.
I do want to say I am going to do a league with the fan favorite Jeff Lynn Blue White Tempo. Ooh.
Or with the deck?
Not with him, with the deck.
Oh, I was like, you just sandbag that you're streaming with him.
That would be, oh man, what a treat. But 80 cards, 4 Standstill, 4 Weathered Wayfarer. I'm not even going to go on.
Who needs the other cards? Listen,
it fetches planes.
It plays Urza Saga. You get Urza Saga of Weathered Wayfarer, and then you can just make constructs under Standstill. It's so good.
Okay, that does sound pretty incredible.
That's actually pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What a pile.
Well, remember what Jeff from 5 minutes ago just said. He wanted to, like, get out from underneath the thumb of shitty white cards and experience some real power. So,
yeah,
I think if it doesn't have a 7/7, a 15/15, or 20/20 in the deck, you just have to move on with your life.
Those are my rules for now. I can live with that. I'll give you, let's say, 4 leagues with maybe one of those decks, and
sure,
before I try this Jeff Lynn business.
Yeah, I think forming new, if the psychology behind forming new habits has shown us anything, that having rules is a really good way to kind of work towards a positive outcome. So if you're just like, I'm not going to play white cards, and just say that out loud and really embody it, and just like, that's my rule for the next while, is I don't play white cards. Then, you know, like, I've been doing that with blue cards. I'm just like, I'm just not going to play blue cards.
I will not play white cards. I will not eat bugs. I will not get in the pod.
what's the problem we're trying to solve here? Sorry, I put on my work hat. Is that did the timbre of my voice become more calm?
Yeah.
Jeff, what problem are we trying to solve here?
I just want to, you know, I'm feeling frustrated with playing the games the way I think I want to play the games, and I want to try to put myself somewhere else. So McBain is 100% right. I should block Jeff Lynn's Twitter feed so I don't get tempted, and I should go make some 2020s.
If you were playing Death and Taxes, and it was like the Death and Taxes of old, let's say you came to Thursday's paper legacy, webcam legacy, and you play your Death and Taxes. There's no Modern Horizons cards. So I don't think anyone's playing Delver last week. And you went 0-3. Would you be happier or less happy than when you played this league and went 1-4?
Oh, I'd be happier for sure. I'd be happier than even when I like 3-2'd.
I don't know if the answer is playing a different deck that's totally different than Death and Taxes. Then
it's not, but it's
you're not just like, oh, I want to win matches, right?
I think it's also like. The difference between webcam too is, you know, you're playing with people and you're talking, whatever. Webcam sucks compared to paper magic, but it's at least something. But
this is the worst double blind controlled experiment I've ever heard of, Quinn.
Okay, so I'm thinking about it like last time there were God accounts, I always fire up Infect first because I'm like, let's see how I'm doing here. And I'm like, oh, at least like I usually get like a 3-2, so at least I'll like be able to get my like entry fee back. And I like went like 1-4 and was like, well, that's rough. I'm like, yeah, you know, got unlucky. I like made it was kind of rusty, made a few misplays. I was like, whatever. But I was like, ooh, that was fun. And then I played Bomberman and I went 2-3 and was like, fuck, this is miserable. Which is no offense if you like Bomberman, but it's just was not my thing, you know. So it was a thing where it was just like I wanted to do a thing, you know. That's why I play Legacy, right? You want to do a thing.
I'm just taking this opportunity where I'm not exactly happy with where it feels like the play patterns are going to take a pause and do something else.
I think that would be my thing, is not to take a pause, and do something else, but to think of something, like think about the play. Like I was just throwing decks out. That's why when I was like, oh, show, I was going to say show and tell, but that seems wrong. You know,
I'll
like
try the things, it, you know, maybe I'll love it.
Maybe I just
I doubt it
will. it's like when you're like, want to try D&T, maybe you'll like it. And I was like, oh, it's my hand, it's just my hand forever. I don't like this.
Well, this is a nice therapy session.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, is your work therapy, Quinn?
I got like some positive affirmations out of this. I got some like, you're doing it right. I got some, you're doing it wrong.
are you gonna like recalibrate your vision board?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's so good.
Jeff, I'm going to share the notes that I've been taking, but what I'd like you to do, and if you give me end of the day, is just the accountabilities that you set for yourself and some like dates that, you know, when you're going to have those by.
I'm going to have some OKRs set.
Yeah, and then I think we're on our way. You know, we're the rest of the quarter is going to be great.
Should we do quarterly reviews?
This is a tangent, but did you guys see that tweet that was like, I think this person was being genuine, so I kind of feel bad because they were legitimately trying to be inclusive. But the, like, a thing I do is instead of saying like have a great summer, is because the seasons are different between hemispheres, oh, I'll say like have a good Q3.
that sounds like a perfect Twitter take right there.
Yeah, no one's discriminated against because it's winter where they live now. I'm sorry.
But what about the people who has like different fiscals where it starts in like the end of April or something like that,
yeah,
or the end of April? Like that is just. Yeah. What about those people, Quinn?
You've insulted my work family. It's Q1 for us, actually. Our serious business starts on April 1st. Sorry, I don't even
know where to go from there.
When we talk about OKRs and quarters, it was just like, oh man, have a good Q3.
Well, in terms of like who's having a good, whatever, Q2 right now, I don't even know who's having a good Q2. Prismatic Ending Endurance are phenomenal. The white one, was it
Solitude? Yeah,
Solitude. I was gonna say Solidarity. I'm like, that's definitely not that card. Solitude, like that card it just seems incredible. And again, another amazing card that can't just be absconded with by Delver and used against everyone else. So I don't know. I've been enjoying the we're not living in a giant dumpster fire aspect of Modern Horizons 2. I don't feel it was like a total miss. That being said, I haven't had an Urza Saga played against me yet. So I remain open to being disappointed. Apparently that card gets pretty nutty. I look forward to the first time I get to copy an Urza Saga with this Thespian stage.
Yeah, that's going to be. Have you been hit by a Ragavan yet?
Yeah, I've definitely had that. And then I just, you know, kill all their stuff. But yeah, I feel lands is generally a bad gauge of things because it's such a weird deck. Right. Again,
like
kind of
things you care about are just so different than whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It was similar to like when I was playing like Painter and I was just like, oh, I just have a one mana red thing that kills or counters anything I care about. So like the way you have to think about a game is just totally different. But that's kind of why I like. And I have been, again, enjoying playing Death and Taxes, where you kind of have to use the tools in the way they were designed rather than just getting to cheat on certain aspects of the game.
Yeah, I was thinking Ragavan might be good against lands because it like mitigates the mana denial.
To a degree, but honestly, you just start like killing all their guys, you cast a choke, blah, blah, blah. Like
you know, you just make them not on tap.
And honestly, when you look at it, like the blue red Delvers are actually pretty weak to just making a 20/20 and killing them. Like, yeah, they might have one Brazen Borrower and maybe a Submerge, but honestly, they're too busy fighting everything else to actually like really dedicate stuff against land. So you kind of just get to wreck them.
Yeah, I've also like been less Submerge.
Yeah, and I've also been playing. Well, a lot of the land players have been playing 2 to 3. Shifting Ceratops in the sideboard, which is the 2 and 2 green 5/5 dinosaur that can't be countered and is pro blue. And then you can also pay green and give it trample, reach, or haste, which is just, it feel like, I'm sure being like a reg Delver player, when someone plays that against you, just like, what did I ever do to you? Like, even for L reg event sins, like, you shouldn't be playing a shifting Ceratops against me because. It honestly is just like virtually unkillable against them.
Shifting Ceratops and Great Sable Stag as a courtesy on webcam, I will go, I'll try to cast a Shifting Ceratops. It cannot be countered. And just so you know, you don't get like the in paper, you know, I'll put the Shifting Ceratops on the table and let you look at it. If you want to reflexively dump a Force of Will, that's your problem. But on the webcam, like, I'm going to play a Great Sable Stag. It can't be countered. Just want you to know that.
They're like, I don't even know what that card is.
Yeah.
The ultimate being Maze of Ithing your Shifting Ceratops after you've attacked with it. and then you have a back on blockers for whatever their 13-13.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dragon thing is. You're just like, oh, that's fine. I've just got my pro blue 5-5 here that you can't pull.
After damage, Maze of Ith is the best Maze of Ith.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. It's the best feeling.
That's one of those things that, like, when somebody sees it the first time, it's like, whoa, wait, what? What do you mean there's, like, an after damage combat step?
Oh, yeah. And but, you know, those are the parts of Legacy of Magic that we all really love. The one other deck that I was going to recommend, Jeff, is actually in 10th place on the 13th. We have Nam Squatters. Local recent, not recent, I guess, but guest of the show, Nam, who's playing, of course, his deck of choice, Hogak. You could play something like that too. That's pretty sweet. It's like a totally different flavor, right? You get that like grindy aspect of it. You get the graveyard abuse, and then you also get the just like kill you with an altar of Jumentia.
Only changes recently, too, are playing the Runafouls. That's a sick sideboard card. One green, target opponent sacrifices a creature with flying. Yeah. Hell yeah.
That's obviously tech against the Knot of this world.
Wait, I have an idea. Do you want to do a stream next week?
Ooh.
Today we'll post like a tweet. So before this recording comes out, it's the future. You'll have seen the tweet already if you follow us. And we'll be like, we're going to do a stream. Jeff needs a break from D&T. What's a deck that he will like that's not just D&T, but different?
I think we just have like Jeff psychology sessions where it's choose the medicine and it's show and tell depths.
I think we can get suggestions, right? There might be things we don't think of. And then we can shortlist them and then play a couple like in the practice room.
This assumes far too many listeners though, I think. And then
we'll have at least like, I can think of like three people who will reply for sure. I think if they have ideas and we can run them through the practice room and then you can like decide which one we take into the league.
Okay. I could be into this. I think I could probably make something like a Tuesday work, but we'll talk.
It's like the dating game. We'll get the list and I'll be like, all right, Jeff.
Bachelor number one.
This is a combo deck. It plays Brainstorm. Tries to resolve a 3-mana sorcery.
Deck number one. What's your idea of the perfect first turn?
Yeah. I really want to turn one Ponder. Oof, I don't think I like that. Bachelor number two. What's your deal of first turn? I just want to play Urborg and then Cabal Theremy, my opponent, naming Source of Plowshares.
I don't know which is worth, like Psychology Quinn or Game Show Quinn. They both seem awful, but I'm going to choose door number two.
McBain, even though you said those hurtful things, I want you to know that you're going home with some great party gifts. We've got a dinnerware set. Do they still game shows? Do they have those? Where they just dinnerware have sets? Yeah, where you're like, you know, you always get like the shitty, like you're just a microwave and you're like, it's like, cool. You lost.
I'm pretty sure it's like, and you get a null rod and you're like, oh, a null rod. Like,
oh, now null rod.
But it doesn't do anything. And they're like, well, no, it does nothing. And then the music, like the play them off music happens, right?
This is a very good idea. I love it.
I think we got a hit.
Our new show.
Where are we at in the show notes?
I don't know. I think that's it.
With our lives. We talked a bit about the meta. We talked about a lot of stuff we don't like, a few things we like. I don't know. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Well, I just kind of wanted to let's just admire the into play first place from the 13th. Which is the green Cloud Post deck. Friend of the show, Akash, recently had his, I don't know, 13th birthday or however young he is. And he's a big fan. Gwyn had to mute on that one. He's a big fan of a mono green 12 post. Generally likes to do big dumb stuff with green cards, either in the form of like Knight of the Reliquary or I don't know, some big dumb idiot green thing, but this unfortunately is like budget in that it doesn't play Candelabra of Tanos, which I know he has, so he'd probably be drawn to using those. But seeing a mono green list is pretty awesome. And it's just like one of those, like, I even though, you know, spiked to first place in this, I'd still say it's like more of that like tier 1.5, tier 2 deck, mm-hmm. that like is pretty niche, not niche, that a lot of like people like, and but they're not just like, oh well, this is clearly the obvious choice to play. It's just one of those cool decks of Legacy, and to see it kind of pop up again is always awesome, rather than, you know, just like the, oh, it's either the Delver or the blue control deck at right. the top, and then the next row is the decks to beat those decks, and that's the triangle that we're playing in. Like, I think Legacy is cool because it has those kind of like broader tent posts of the format that get to show up every once in a while. And seeing a mono green deck like that is awesome.
Yavimaya is a really good pickup for that deck too.
Oh yeah, Yavimaya. I've been playing that in lands, and it's a pretty awesome card. Just turning on a whole bunch of lands that all of a sudden start adding mana is like pretty incredible. Mana. Relevant mana is always good for sure.
Gone are the days of, is it Riftstone Portal?
Yeah, Riftstone Portal for sure. Although you do get to like accelerate on mana often when you do the Riftstone Portal, which you obviously, well, I guess you kind of get to do it with the Yavimaya, but it was always awesome when you would like discard the Riftstone to a Mox all Diamond. All of a
sudden, just oop. I have five more mana.
Yeah. But like, again, Elvish Reclaimer, amazing. This deck, of course, is playing a bunch of Endurance. One in the main, two in the side. And then just bangers like Kozilek Butcher of Truth. Like, what a card.
I love the mix in here. It's like, well, Emrakul, yeah. Kozilek, sure. Ulamog, yeah, definitely. Just get it in here. Like, it's just great.
I can just imagine like the, I haven't cast any spells yet, so I'm just going to once upon a time, they're like, oh, cool. Like, maybe Hogak, like some kind of Maverick. Oh, yeah, I've heard like, I've heard like, you know, like Eldrazi Stompy might play, and you're just like, oh, I'm going to reveal Kozilek Butcher of Truth. And you're like, oh no, things got real. Yeah, sweet. It's a sweet deck.
And what situations do you want Kozilek in?
Yeah. I mean, just draw it. Just another big boy.
But then why not just play like a second Emir Ulamog?
Honestly, second Ulamog is probably relevant.
You got to get the Triumvirate into play.
I like the flavor. Don't get me wrong. I just like, actually, like, what is the flavor?
It's the wrong Ulamog.
Yeah, well, whatever, man. Come on, it's close enough.
Well, sometimes you need to like cast Kozilek and then Karakas him back to your hand and cast him again.
There you go.
To draw multiple cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Insane.
Seriously, what is the scenario? I'm curious. This is not being like, I'm not trying to be a dick for once. I just like, I'm like, where? What's the scenario? I want to know. Because I'm always thinking like Ulamog over Emrakul makes sense because you're like, okay, I want to like, there's two things that are going to kill me. I don't know how, even if I take an extra, like it's a Sulfuric Vortex or something. You know, I can like think of situations.
It's also easier to cast like 10 mana.
That's true. Ulamog 10 mana too.
Well,
no. Yeah. Ulamog versus Emrakul, I mean.
Like, yeah. Yeah,
and you know, you got to play around those Runafels, right? So you gotta have the Kozilek and the Ulamogs. They might also play like Meddling Mage. You can get around that.
Yeah, there you
gets
go.
gets around the two Meddling Mages on Emrakul and Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger, specifically the Ceaseless Hunger. Got him.
Exactly.
The deck really also just shows how fucked Primeval Titan can be. Like, holy shit. Every time they play Primeval Titan in one of these decks, you're just like, I am never recovering from this.
Oh, no. Like, I think any time a Primeval Titan comes into play, mm-hmm. is like, your win percentage goes way through the roof. Like, granted, you have to get it into play, but like, generally, you're winning those games when it happens.
Cavern on Giant.
Like any format too. We played that, well, it's banned in EDH. Mm-hmm. And we played that Time Spiral Sealed thing. And I was like, oh, remember the first time I did that against someone? I'm like, I guess I'll cast Primeval Titan. They were like,
Primeval Titan?
Yeah.
His deck was insane. I don't even want to talk about
it. It was so sweet.
I was trying to play with this like red-black scrappy deck, and he's just like crapping value out onto the board. I'm like, okay, I can't win.
I got to like Draining Well, Blink Draining Well.
Oh,
Draining,
you definitely did that to me. That was bad.
But the prime time set it up because you just like start, once you have infinite mana, like you do anything.
Well, and you're just drawing gas and every land is out of your deck. Ugh, bad memories. Well,
speaking of gas, let's move on to That's Gas. All three of us picked Primeval Titan. plus two unique lands each that Primeval Titan pulls out of our libraries. No, but actually, shall we move on to That's Gas?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. If you're new to the podcast, That's Gas is where we like to end the show after two-thirds of us complain a lot. on a positive note, by talking about something we love instead of something we hate. McBain, as the most positive man on the Canadian threshold, why don't you go first, start us off?
Sure. So I didn't realize when I initially called this out how gas it was, but someone posted how there was 64 people in the MTGO event on Saturday and how they won. I think it was the guy who won who was posting this, and he had said in his little like, you know, Twitter post about how his round one opponent was a buy and that it was someone who just registered to fire the event. And I had just kind of commented, I was like, well, the real hero in all of this is the guy who, or the person who registered just to fire the event. Like, that's incredible. And then a bunch of people responded to say, well, actually, this was Slasher21MTG, who I don't know who this hero is, but Slasher21MTG registered 56 swamps and 4 Urza Sagas for their deck. I don't know what kind of statement that is, but it's pretty awesome.
Just flexing.
Yeah, so they registered that for the 64th deck to fire this event, and then conceded round one to the eventual winner of the tournament. That's pretty sweet. That's gas. That's all I have to say.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
I think seeing through Twitter, I believe they ended up having their entry covered through people donating tickets.
Yeah, yeah. I think a bunch of people donated them. Like, honestly, that's real legacy community right there. Now, it does ask the question, Quinn, if you were going to register a deck just to do that, is there any kind of statement that you would make when you do it?
Oh, I don't know. Like, just 60 mismatched islands? No, 80 plus a Yorion.
Ooh, you could do like all the cards that are like amazing to name with Cabal Therapy.
Savage Beating, Play the Game,
Abandon Hope. So that's my that's gas.
Do you think they would have dropped if they realized you could make the second construct when the trigger's on the stack? That's pretty good.
You just mull every game, right? There is a saga.
Yeah. Then you make two constructs.
Is saga legendary? It is, right?
Are the sagas legendary?
I don't think it is.
It's Urza's.
Yeah, but that's a but super.
Are thing, the right? others the other sagas I've named too? Are they legendary?
Sagas in general? Not all of them, but
oh no, no,
legendary.
No, it's Enchantment Land or just Urza Saga. It's not like it doesn't have the hat. You can have two in play at the same time. Hat
on a land?
It's called the Chapeau, actually.
What do you mean? The green, actually, regular Urborg has a little hat now, too.
What?
Yeah, Caracas has it.
Dark Depths does.
The latest Caracas.
Old Border, yeah, never mind, it doesn't. That's why you got to get the Old Border.
Ugh. I think, I'm not sure how I feel about these Old Border new fetch lands. They
look nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. The border just feels different to me than like the strands and deltas and stuff.
You just gotta like chuck them in your bag for a while and sleep.
Yeah, it's like new Facebook, you know, whenever they change the UI, you're like, God, new Facebook. And like, what does old Facebook look like? I don't even remember.
Classic Coke.
Yeah. Except old different thing.
Just classic Coke, old hat, new hat. You're just a gem right now.
The difference between new Facebook and new old fetch lands is that new Facebook doesn't cost you like two times what your old Facebook cost. It still costs only your dignity and privacy.
On that positive note, why don't you give us your That's Gas?
I want to shout out Eternal Dirtles, who just did their 200th episode. So congrats, guys, on 200 episodes. If you haven't listened to it yet, it's really fun. They have, if for nothing else, to listen to Joe Dyer, just having like, he always sounds like having the best goddamn time in the world. So if you just to listen to Joe's laugh over the course of an hour and a half, it's worth it. But Cyrus is on there too.
Ooh.
And the dudes from Leaving a Legacy, it's a really good time. So,
oh, wow. I'm definitely
going to regularly check that out. Check that out.
I kind of put Joe Dyer's laugh in the same universe as Seth Rogen's. Like they're both like really unique laughs where like at first you're kind of like, oh really? And then you're like, yeah, you know what, this is cool, I'm digging this. Like
I love a good distinct laugh, because when you can really hear like that's the person who enjoyed that thing you said or whatever, like it feels so much better than just being, you know, oh, some people over there. It's like, yeah, that got him. That got Seth. That got Joe.
Listening to Joe talking about Legacy is kind of like playing Ed in any format of Magic, where it doesn't matter what's happening, but it sounds like he's having the best time imaginable.
I can just hear him in my head right now. Like,
yeah. I thought you were going to say like him top decking and killing you every single game, but
and he laughs about that too. But then you top deck and kill him, and he laughs about that too. He's just having a good time, like we all should be.
I still remember the moment when I was watching him play with Brennan Six and he realized what the ultimate truly was. And was just like, it wasn't even like, I just stole Christmas and this is amazing. It was like so far beyond that in terms of like the childhood excitement that he all of a sudden had like rush over his face of just like, oh my God, this ultimate. Anyway, take us home, Jeff.
I need a break for a second. There's a locomotive going by.
What's your favorite train in Magic, McBain, while we're waiting?
Train?
Yeah.
Oh, God. The Pro Tour? No. Getting on the train? No, that's too much. Train?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't even know how to respond to that.
Wow.
Skytrain?
No, there's like the one that gets like the counter.
Which one? Oh, in Magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Runaway. What's it called? Oh, there's a train.
Untethered Express. I think that would be my that would be my favorite train. I think slightly ahead of the Aradara Express.
Ooh.
Jeff actually has a train going by.
I'm trying to snipe it, and every time I take the mute off, it starts squealing.
McBain sounds like the kind of like bougie guy who's never had to ride a Renegade freighter. You know, he can afford to jump in a Dermo taxi. But you know, I'm not like that. I don't know what that's like.
A man of the people.
Yeah.
No, you got a crew more than two. Okay, I think the train's gone enough. My That's Gas, I guess, it's a bit of a sad note, I guess. There was some news came across the BC Magic Facebook group just last week that a local guy who I spent a lot of Friday Night Magic's drafting with when I lived out in Langley, Marcel Peugeot Jr., had actually just passed away a couple weeks ago from COVID. Big hit to the greater BC Magic community. I don't think he ever really touched Legacy, but if you were at any kind of event like a limited PTQ or just like a Friday Night Magic or whatever, not so much in Vancouver, but out towards the Valley a bit, Marcel was like there constantly. And when I lived in Langley and I draft at Game Stars every Friday night for probably, I don't know, 3 years, Marcel was there like 99% of the time. And he was just one of those guys who's always there, easy to talk to, quick to laugh. And I always kind of felt like if I ever went back there to draft, and you know, you just think about the people that you walk into Stronghold any day of the week, you think about the people that are going to be there. And it was always, you know, Marcel's going to be there drafting and we'll, I don't know, laugh about some kind of dumb shit. So it sucks. You know, it's kind of an odd time too, when it feels like everybody's I know in the States is a lot better, but everybody around here is getting their first, and some old people like Quinn are lining up for their second dose. And it feels like, you know, a lot of COVID stuff is getting close to the rear view. So it feels especially sad to lose somebody so close to the finish line. So Marcel, absolutely gas. Yeah. Don't know what else to say.
On that note, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you in 2 Threshold.